Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Nav's Effect podcast. I'm your host, Naveen Ganglani. Today's a special episode. We're joined by a special guest, and I cannot wait to begin getting into this the discussions of what we have planned and what we will converse about. And for the topic we have at hand today, well, safe to say our guest is quite knowledgeable about it. But first, a quick word from our sponsor, Fitspire.
Are you ready to transform your home into a premium fitness haven? Look no further than Fitspire, your go-to destination for top-notch home gym equipment designed to take your fitness to unprecedented heights. Immerse yourself in a world of possibilities with their versatile range of premium gear, including yoga equipment for serene workouts, adjustable dumbbells and kettlebells for customized strength training, roller wheels and push-up bars to sculpt those abs and arms, jump ropes, foam rollers, and stability balls for an all-rounded workout experience. Stylish and efficient cooling towels to keep you refreshed, and sport water bottles for staying hydrated in style. Fitspire's equipment is not only durable but also space-saving, allowing you to create your dream workout space without sacrificing aesthetics or functionality. Whether you're a fitness novice or a seasoned pro, their collection caters to all levels. And here's the real game changer. As a special treat for our podcast listeners, we're offering an exclusive 10% off on your purchase. Simply use the code word NAVSEFFECT10 upon checkout at www.sunbeamslifestyle.com. It's our way of saying thank you for choosing Fitspire. But that's not all. For an even more seamless experience, download the Sunbeams Lifestyle app, available on both iOS and Android platforms. Browse their collection, stay updated on fitness trends, and exclusive deals. Transform your fitness routine from ordinary to extraordinary with Fitspire. Don't just dream about your fitness goals, achieve them in the comfort of your own home. Visit www.sunbeamslifestyle.com, use code NAVSEFFECT10, and let Fitspire be your fitness companion on this incredible journey.
Okay, we are back on the podcast and we are joined by Noli Iala, former commissioner of the PBA, one of the well-known broadcasters of the PBA from back in the day as well, and still doing his thing in the modern day and age. Come, Noli, you know, I have to say I'm quite impressed because a lot of the old broadcasters, a lot of the old-timers, you know, they stick to what they know, they stick to what has worked for them for so long, but you have really done a good job adjusting to the modern times. You have an online show. I want to take this time to shout out our common friend, Mike, who always is kind enough to message me to invite me on your show. So before we get started, why don't you tell people more about where they can find your program and what it is behind, what's the inspiration behind why you do what you do?
Well, first of all, let me thank you, Naveen, for inviting me today. You know, I couldn't pass up on this, not only because you're almost a regular in my show, but also because you're one of the guys that, the young guys that are really very interesting to talk to.
Thank you.
To.
Thank you so much.
Well, for those who are interested, of course, I have my weekly Saturday show. It's aired over 1PH on Signal TV. It's also aired on our Facebook page. On Radio Cinco, on 1PH, and of course on Power and Play. And it also comes out on radio, on Radio Cinco 92.3 True FM. So it's every Saturday. It's all about sports. It's really a light Saturday morning discussion on many topics on sports. It starts at 8 o'clock, and we have a lot of guests. We talk about issues. Yeah, hopefully, we give some information and, of course, a little entertainment and of course, some of the updated sports scores and everything. So I've done this. I've been doing this now for nearly 7 years. It's really the only thing that keeps me still connected to sports, you know, regularly. And that's why I have fun with it. As you know, my brand is sports. And I've always, my life has, for the last, what, 34 years, has been officially in sports. So I believe that's the one that really keeps me still connected to the game.
That's fantastic. That's great to hear. And you do such a good job running that show. So because it's Saturday mornings and you're shooting that live, does that mean you don't go out on Friday nights anymore? You try to sleep early on Friday nights?
Actually, on the contrary, I still try to relax on Fridays with the family because I know I have to clear my mind. Although I do a lot of reading, the day before because I need to know what's going on in many of the games as well as in many of the personalities. I hook up on, of course, on the social media platforms. And but yeah, you're right. I don't drink at least on Friday nights, so I can be a
So,
little fresh on Saturday morning.
no wines or
May wine.
champagne.
Wine is okay, but hard
Not the
drinking
hard,
and
not the hard liquor. Yeah.
and also not avoid sleeping too late.
I see. I need to learn how to do that. That might still be my problem. But the reason I also had you onto this because I wanted to talk about the PBA, which I know is close to your heart, given your affiliation to the league over the years. And that's also why, I didn't prepare like specific questions, a specific outline for this topic today, because I wanted it to feel more like an honest discussion about where the league is, where the league used to be, and maybe considering where the league could be heading. Because I think a lot of people in the Philippines, despite the dip in popularity of the PBA over the last few years, I feel like a lot of people in the Philippines and even Filipinos abroad still have a connection to the PBA. They still have emotional attachments to the league. I mean, the league is almost 50 years old pretty soon. Right. And a lot of people grew up watching the league, myself included. I'm sure you as well. A lot of people still remember their favorite players, whether that's Ramon Fernandez from way back in the day, or Alan Caidic, or maybe some of the newer generation who grew up watching Alvin Patrimonio, or guys like, even John Arrigo, someone who I think is quite underrated when playing the PBA players. Exactly. He was one of my favorite players back in the day. But the point of all of this is I want to get your insight. Why do you think the PBA has kind of fallen from grace as of late? And now I know some people will say, well, we still love the PBA. They still get quite, the fandom, especially in the Kinebra Bay Area series, which was quite recent, where it felt like the PBA's popularity was rising again. But here's my insight I want to share to you before I give the floor to you in this regard. When I grew up watching the PBA, I started watching in the early 2000s, right? And back then, you already knew who were the powerhouses were to some degree, whether that's San Miguel with the Dannys, Danny Ai and Danny Siegel under Coach John, or I believe they were still Mobiline, or Ginebra was already pretty good as well with Mark the Spark and JJ Helterbrand, the Fast and the Furious, right? But at the same time as well, even when you had these favorites, there would still be conferences or seasons where other teams would be really quite impactful. Like Alaska would have their championship run. Shell had a championship. I'm not sure if they had the championship run, but Shell was a pretty good team. Red Bull also had a good contender run there. Even Santa Lucia won a
That's
championship.
right.
So when you look back in the day, even Pure Foods would win championships, right? There would be different teams at least contending in different conferences. But now it just feels more like, okay, it's going to be Ginebra. It's going to be San Miguel, and maybe Tok and Tex or TNT would win once in a while, right? Do you think the fact that the league has become predictable in terms of who will win, and in turn, that lack of parity is the biggest reason why the popularity or the excitement isn't what it used to be?
Well, you hit it right on the head. I think it's really the predictability that is hurting the PBA. Predictability comes from the disparity, the huge disparity. It's not only a small disparity as it was before, it's already a very, very wide gap between the haves and the have-nots in the PBA. Let me get first to the first point that you're asking. Why do you think is there a drop, despite the fact that you're describing how people are still connected nowadays, some form or the other because of the past and of course of certain stars that you mentioned that I also enjoyed. John Arrigo is a name that I haven't heard in a long, long time. But I like to compare it to this, to the monument of Jose Rizal, the
Okay.
PBA. It is a revered monument. It is our national hero. We know it's there. It's been there for the longest time. We know what it represents. We know that there is a ceremony that goes around, like a changing of the guards, but it's never changed. It's just there. It's the same. If you've seen it once, there's no more excitement. You know what's going to happen at a certain time. The guards will change. The flag is probably something you want to take a picture in, but once you've taken a picture, that's it. No, and in fact, now there's even a background, a building that destroys the picture. So it's there. And the PBA is just like that. You know, many of us have been to the games. Many of us have watched it on TV. We know its history. We know that it is revered because it's historically, it's the oldest professional league outside of the NBA. We know that in the past, it's had its glory days. And we've taken memories with us from our days watching the PBA. You know? But it's just there. It's like, it doesn't want to evolve. It's just not changing. Mm-mm. It's not adapting. You know, it's not adapting. It's very predictable. You know that the guards will change at a certain point. You know that no matter how they start, at the end, it will be the top teams that will be playing in the semifinals. But you cannot take it out. It's something that you no longer can dismantle. You cannot destroy it. Just like the Rizal Monument. Because it is our national sport. It's like an institution that we all respect. It's just that. We all get bored. We no longer want to go to the Rizal Monument because we don't see anything new anymore. I mean, right. Unless you have a new baby or a tourist that comes with you. Sometimes you don't even want to accompany the tourist anymore. It's just there because we know it's just going to be there. And I think that's where the problem lies. The PBA has become complacent. I think that they believe that they're no longer going to be threatened by anything. There's no risk that they will fold. It is the... You know, one sports institution that not only is respected in the Philippines but also elsewhere abroad. So people who run it are just sitting pretty, and I don't like it. It's it destroys not only the current way that things are being done, but also the history, the past. You know, because there are certain traditions, Naveen, that should be kept. But I also believe that you just can't continue to rely and rest on your laurels, as they say. Right? You just have to continue to evolve with the times, and we don't see that. Maybe there are things, and you are you're very connected to the tech world, and also of course the social media phenomenon. I think they're trying to do that. It's not enough. I can see they're trying to do that, but at the end of the day, I guess it's still the product. It's the game. Mm-mm. These are the teams, the players, the game itself. I don't know if you remember, during my time, I had many, many marketing programs for the PBA. We had so many gimmicks. We had so many things going around the game.
Right.
But when I used to tell my people, my staff, it's still the game. At the end of the day, people will enjoy the sidelights and everything, but they will still watch the game. And if you don't officiate correctly, if the players don't play well, if things go wrong with the game, if the game is so one-sided, people will tune off. And I think that's what's happening right now. I mean,
absolutely.
People are tuning off.
Absolutely. Now, I did actually want to mention that I used to grow up watching you commentate the games, but I didn't want you to feel a little awkward.
Old. That's it.
But you still look young at heart, Commissioner. I'm still calling you Commissioner. No, 2 points. First, you know, I mentioned the Blackwater Ginebra series, which I believe was 2023 or 2022. Right now, I can't remember, but it was recent, right? It was very recent. I believe it was last year. And that was the first time in a while I felt real excitement for the PBA, for a PBA series, in part because the competition, which was brought by Bay Area, was so good, right?
Yeah.
They made everyone increase their level of competition, of preparation, and they were beating teams. And for a while, we weren't sure if they would, I mean, if they wouldn't lose or if they would beat Ginebra, right, in the final
series.
Because they were such a solid team, you saw the way Ginebra stepped their game up and the way they performed in the finals, winning that game 7 in incredible fashion.
Let me jump into that, Naveen. And people... understood it. They were knowledgeable that it was a real battle. It's, you know, they knew that this team had a real shot, and it's a quality team. You know, that's
exactly.
I think people are not looking so much about, you know, the Ginebra losing or San Miguel not winning the championship, but at least the fight has to be real.
The
I think that's the whole,
competition,
the
yes, the
competition has to be.
Competition.
That's all I'm saying, naman. I'm not saying, hey, you should make Terra Firma win or you should make Blackwater champions. No, if Ginebra is really that good, if San Miguel, Talk and Text are really that good, that's their reward. But if they're winning because there's no one else that's good, that's what hurts the PBA.
Exactly. And, you know, that competition factor is what made it exciting, right? Talking about that series in Bay Area was in participation. It's because when you were watching the games, you're like, okay, who's going to beat Bay Area today? Or are they going to lose like Ginebra or San Miguel? And because the thing is, you know, for me, if I want to watch something that I kind of know the ending, well, I'm going to tune into Netflix instead. Or I'm going to go on Amazon Prime.
Or tune back in around last 3 minutes or 5 minutes of the game. And just check the score. Okay, it's close, then we'll watch. But if it's not,
exactly. And one of the issues, I believe, is like a lot of fans now, even the younger fans I've spoken to who are still in college, you don't really watch the PBA anymore. They're like, okay, let's say, for example, Xavier Lucero got drafted to Northport. Cool. So how many seasons, how many conference does he stay there before he ultimately goes to Ginebra?
Compared, you said that, I did.
Compared to like, to, or even at Ginebra, one of the other teams, right? Which is the phenomenon that people consider as farm teams. Well, look, whether it's true or not, we don't know. We don't have proof. But a lot of people believe that farm teams exist. This is one of the notions when it comes to the PBA. But see, that's not the only thing I feel, which has limited the PBA to some degree. I think, you know, you said it best, Komnoli, they've gotten complacent because they realized too late that the competition elsewhere has really upped its game. Back in the day, the PBA was the main sports draw in town, right? Early 2000s,
absolutely.
Late 90s, everyone was tuning in Sunday nights to watch the PBA games, Wednesday, Friday.
Advertisers were killing just to get into the TV
exactly.
coverage.
But now you look at our landscape, not just sports, content in general. We have streaming on demand. What do you want? Netflix, Prime, HBO, Disney Plus, Apple Plus, name it. You want to watch TV series? It's there. Even if you don't watch TV, you go on YouTube, you can type anything you're interested about, videos will come out. And going back to the sports spectrum, the UAAP has done such an amazing job marketing the league. Kudos to them, that I feel it's become the most popular basketball league in the country today. Then you add the fact now that back in the day, I think you remember this, Sir Nolly, that back in the day, you might only get to watch an NBA game once a week or twice a week, right?
That's right.
When Solar
you had that, even during my time in the 80s, you had to have that FEN, that Far East Network antenna, that you needed, that you were going to get a signal from Clark. And I was watching the games and at 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, just to get a coverage from Clark. So you're right.
Exactly.
You know, there were very limited choices.
And nowadays, people can watch NBA on demand on their phones.
On demand,
you
right.
Watch League Pass. Kahit nga hindi ka mag-League Pass, some people will find streaming websites that show the games.
Right.
And on top of, just to add also, volleyball.
Yeah.
Volleyball also has, whether that's UAAP or the PVL. I mean, the PVL has how many fans each time it has a game nowadays, right? Go ahead.
Let me comment lang on the UAAP. And you know, I cannot disagree that the UAAP is very, very popular. And it's because I think, Naveen, it has a built-in crowd. It has a built-in following. That's their advantage. And now, of course, the organizers of the UAP, including, let's give credit to the TV, it's easier to sell because, you know, they leverage on this built-in crowd. That's, again, one of the things that the PBA lacks.
Mm.
We are not geographically based. We're not LGU based. So there is no natural following. It's a brand that is playing. And so teams are supposed to be marketing their brands. And of course, we only play in one area, which is Metro Manila mostly.
Yes.
No? So again, there's that fatigue factor in terms of buying. Of course, a lot of things come in. But I think that's what's lacking by the PBA. The PBA has forgotten how to develop a market. And it's all because they always rely, and this is always what I hear, ang dami naman nanonood online. Or they're always saying that, you know. But I think it's a very superficial analysis, because the question is, okay, if you check something online for about 30 seconds, you know, somehow it gets recorded, but it's really not substantial. Before, you know, during my time, we would be very concerned about what we call conversion and also fallout, meaning those that were watching before that are no longer watching, and those that were not watching and now have started to watch. We were very careful about that, because we needed to ensure that there is a continuity of following for the PBA. Now, right, because of the multiple platforms that you mentioned, league officials are beginning to think, you know, we have 30,000 views right now watching. They think that's the number, you know. And again, it's very, very deceiving, because at the end of the day, you look at the venues and there's no one. Absolutely no one. It's only in the semifinals that you see the venue at least half full. And if it's a Ginebra or San Miguel or Pure Foods game, this is very important. It comes to play for even the players, because I know this for a fact, players play better and perform with more gusto and more zest if there are people watching them.
Naturally, and, yes. Yeah.
And that's why the UAAP games are exciting, because these kids are playing in front of a crowd. MPBA, you know, the only people that are watching now are either relatives or officials, or a few handful of real supporters. So again, that's something that the PBA has become very, very complacent, a little bit confused. Right. They think that the following is there when, you know, really it's starting to wane. And a lot of people have been talking about it. You've mentioned it. A lot of other writers or some PBA, former PBA players have been sounding the alarm bells. But I don't know. Somehow it's not being, we don't see anything tangible that's being done.
Attention all Ateneo supporters and fashion enthusiasts. Get ready to elevate your game day style with GetBlue's latest masterpiece, the all-new hoodies. These aren't just any ordinary hoodies. They're the best GetBlue has ever come out with. Crafted with precision and passion, each hoodie is a testament to their commitment to quality and style. And guess what? They come in three stunning colors: cream, royal blue, and navy blue. But wait, there's more. The new hoodie features textured and embroidered patches on premium peak fabric, ensuring a luxurious and comfortable feel like no other. It's the perfect blend of style and comfort, making it an absolute must-have for the remainder of UAAP Season 86. But here's the best part. You can own this game day essential for only 2,500 pesos each. That's right, premium quality at a great price. But remember, true fans always buy original. Avoid imitations and support the Ateneo varsity teams in style by purchasing from GetBlued's official stores. With GetBlued, you're not just buying a hoodie, you're investing in the pride and tradition of the blue and white. Don't miss out on the opportunity to stand out in the crowd and show your unwavering support for the Ateneo varsity teams. Get your hands on the new hoodies today and let your Blue Eagle pride soar to new heights. Visit GetBlued's official stores to secure your hoodies now. Hurry! Quantities are limited.
Okay, so let me ask you right now. Let's say, hypothetically, the PBA calls you and they're like, okay, Sir Nolly, we're going to bring you back as our head of marketing. Hypothetically lang, okay? What would be your immediate actions to, like you said, increase the marketing, bring back some of that conversion that you mentioned, and, you know, essentially continue the chain of fandom? Or really, just to make it simple, how do you increase the desire for people to love the PBA, or the desire to be attached to the league the way it was from back in the day? What would be your immediate steps?
Okay, hypothetically, I would do that, but realistically, it'll not happen. But hypothetically,
hypothetically, yeah.
And they'll probably have to pay me for my ideas as well. But you know, I've mentioned this so many times in some of the interviews about the PBA that I have been I've been asked. No, again, it goes back to simple balance. So it takes a while. It'll take a while. You know, all of these movements of players have to be checked. In other words, okay, let's just put it this way. There has to be a move towards the game. There's another program towards marketing, and there's another move towards the organization of the PBA. Those are three giant aspects of the league that have to be addressed. There'll be just no one fix to bring back the fans, no? So let's just focus on, let's say, marketing. Let's assume that there will be balance. There will be imbalanced trades will no longer be allowed. Let's assume that teams are actually developing their roster to become competitive. Let's assume that the league office is not allowing top picks to go to the big teams, and so the disparity doesn't become too wide. So let's just go to the marketing side. I personally feel that the PBA should begin moving their games again closer to the fans out of Metro Manila. I think aesthetically it will be nice that the PBA has fans in the venues, and I think you begin with just building that crescendo, that momentum, that tidal wave of fans going back watching elimination round games, because these are exciting games, no? So I would start seriously getting teams to play more games outside of Metro Manila, and just putting up a few games in Metro Manila, and again, that's one. The second one, of course, I think that the PBA has to do is that they need to start marketing stars. We don't even know who the players are anymore.
Correct.
It's just
correct.
I was watching a game maybe last week, and I was impressed, but I don't even know the players anymore. And I'm a guy that follows them at least habitually, and I still check the box scores. And really, it's because parang, you know, a player just comes up, plays well. You know, I was talking to one PBA coach, and he was telling me, this guy is really good. We're very impressed. I was talking to a reporter, that, boss, ang ganda lang galing. But when they tell me about the names, I said, wow, I'm just lost. So
right.
I think we failed to start developing stars. Unlike the era of maybe the 90s. And you know, Naveen, it's so easy pa eh, because as you said, give an example, Save Lucero. My God, that guy came out of the UAAP like a real superstar. And
exactly.
It's easy, so easy. But now my children who were watching Save Lucero in the UAP are no longer watching him in the PBA. They just tell me, oh, Lucero is playing in the PBA, but they don't know where he plays. They don't know when to catch him, etc. There are so many good players coming out of the college game that somehow are not being properly marketed. Why? Because the PBA keeps on living in the past. They keep on rotating or returning old players. You know, we're still building up players like this. I don't know. Somehow that art of building superstars is lost in this new era. And lastly, it's the TV product, Naveen. The one that makes the PBA different from all other leagues, including local leagues and even Asian leagues, is the television coverage in the past.
Yes.
In the past, it was consistent. The TV coverage was consistent. You know where you're going to find it. It was colorful. It had continuity in its program. And it was always new. It was novel. It was something was coming up.
Something now, to look forward to.
Yeah, now I'm not knocking on anyone, but you don't get excited about the coverage itself. It's not about the shouting. It's not about the shouting in a game. It's not about the copying some really good sportscasters in the US. It's all about substance of
exactly.
The game. It's all about making sure that fans understand
the game.
The game and how exciting it can be. And that has been lost. I think it's also the television coverage needs to be more consistent. We've seen how it's shifted from TV5 to A to Z, now to RPTV. You don't know where you can find it if you have no cable, if you have free TV. And this is already manifested even by, I guess, the sponsorships that come out for television. So again, there's so many things that we can talk about. I can talk about technology-based innovations that they can do in venue. I can talk about side events that they should be doing. I can talk about the two conference format that I believe so passionately about, handicapping system to improve the balance of the league. And we can talk about removing height restrictions just to make it more interesting, and all other things. But at the end of the day, I think the PBA has to understand first that there is a problem and they have to make changes. You know, Navina, in 2003, when I came in the PBA was beset with the field sham problem, the drug problem, and bad debts, you know, unpaid obligations of the PBA. What was the strategy that me and my team put together? And I don't want to just take full credit for it. It was called disruption strategy. We totally disrupted the PBA, disrupted the entire program. We decided to change the calendar from April to a March calendar, made it from October until about July. We did a two-conference format. We changed the names, and we supported the Philippine team fully. That was the disruption. And things just changed. You know, you realize it's a new product. I think it's time for the PBA to do that. They need to disrupt whatever they're doing right now in the league.
Shake it up, exactly. You know, once the stars, particularly the college stars, started going to Asian leagues like Japan and Korea, you know, talking about the likes of Terdi Ravenna, Kiefer Ravenna, SJ Belangel, Kobe Paras, all these sorts, I didn't like the response from the basketball culture here. Obviously, a lot of the younger fans were, yeah, go get that money. Go get that opportunity. You know, go pursue your passions and abilities, because that's another factor to consider, right? The PBA used to be the king of basketball leagues in Asia. Now you've got the B League, the KBL, you got the Chinese Basketball League, you've got the P League in Taiwan, and now you even have the EASL, which, to be fair, the PBA does participate in, but even that's starting to gain some popularity, right? I felt like a great response from the PBA once these players started going abroad. Again, well-deserved for them, considering they earned it. I think a great response from the PBA would have been, we wish these players the best. Our doors are always going to be open for them. If they want to come back here, we'd love to have them. And in the meantime, we feel like we have so many other great basketball stars that are still in the Philippines that we think will make it enjoyable for the fans to watch play in the games. And I felt like that would have been a great response. But of course, lo and behold, that's not what happened. It was a little more of the... I believe there was even this rule where if they didn't declare for the draft, they wouldn't be allowed to join the league or something like that.
They were banned or something. Yeah, they were banned.
Exactly. And when I saw that, I was just so disappointed because I felt like it was such a wasted opportunity for good PR. And also, like, if I'm one of those players who went abroad and I'm told, okay, you're going to be banned, I'm like, all right, well, then I'll just keep finding for opportunities abroad. But you know what you said makes sense too in terms of marketing the players, particularly the young basketball stars. And this is where David Stern was such a genius in growing the NBA globally, which was to market these basketball players like Jordan, Magic, Bird, especially when they joined the Dream Team in 92 in Barcelona. And I feel like it's such a great opportunity for the PBA to do this because a lot of the young stars that are entering the league are still coming from college. And we see how hot the college basketball scene is right now. Like Xavier Lucero, like you said, from UP. Henry Gallinato from UP. Richie Rivero from UP, right? And this UP fan base in Philippine basketball right now is pretty huge, right? Similar for Ateneo, similar for LaSalle. So you market a lot of these young guys coming in. You push them. Tyler Teo, for example, he's from Ateneo. He won multiple championships. He has a great demeanor about himself, good head on his shoulders, right? That's a great player to market to the community. Right. And if you keep marketing these guys coming from college, you're immediately also, in my opinion, bringing in the fan bases or the followings they had from when they were in college. And that way you keep inserting new fans into the PBA. It's just sometimes it feels like the obvious thing to do is not what they do. Am I being a little too pretentious in saying that?
Oh, no. No, I think you're right. You know, the pushback of the PBA with the exodus. Now, let's not call it exodus. Just the decision of these young players to go abroad was really, really a blow to the PBA. I think they looked like they were scared. They looked like they were on the retreat and on the defensive, no? Rather than have parlayed it to their benefit, saying that, you know, we wish them luck, and hopefully, and of course, we the PBA will become better when they come back, etc., etc. No, and we can see that it was not as predicted. Not all players are moving out of the Philippines. There are only a few. The really good ones are being
exactly
picked by this foreign leagues. No, so again, the fear is probably was probably premature, and it was unfounded. But here's the thing, Naveen, that I feel the PBA should learn from. If these players are going abroad, and they're hooking up with professional teams as well, so why don't you create an atmosphere where you get these players back through their professional teams, through unique tournaments like invitationals or pocket tournaments, so that you get that those players that maybe the fans are missing to play and be part of a PBA program. I'll give you an example. Look at the Bay Area Dragons. You know what they brought, and you mentioned that a while back when they played Ginebra. We filled up the Philippine Arena. Up to now, I was with Brian Gorjan in Cebu, and he still talks about it. I was with Hayden Blankley, and they still talk about it up to now. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's something that they should have done. You know, like, why don't you come up with instead of a repetitive third conference of the same nature? Why don't you get an invitational tournament, time it perfectly with teams, invite these teams that have Carl Tamayo, that have Kai Soto, that have RJ Abarrientos, Renz Abando, to come over to the Philippines and play against our teams. And then that's the thing where you make the fans appreciate what the PBA is doing. Secondly, I've always believed in this. If you want the right talent to go to you, then you've got to be the benchmark of your industry.
Right.
You know, many good companies do that, and they know that they cannot attract the best of the best unless they give the best of the best opportunities as well as salaries. The PBA has been stuck to their old salary cap. Maybe they've increased it by increments, but we know how much these leagues are now paying. And we know that these teams, sorry to say, are paying almost the same amount for their stars. Yet, in their rules, there is a dishonesty in the way they bring their rules. Now, why don't you have still your rules? Same, okay, half a million only, max, and only 50 million salary cap. But I'll give two special salaries for players with unlimited salary. I can
superstar,
give them
like a max contract.
Yeah, super max contract. I can give them 2 million a month, just like what they're giving in the Japan B League or in the KBL. Do you think these players are going to leave? The conditions are different, and that's what, you know, eventually it's about. Ultimately, it's about taking care of your family. That's what they always say.
Right.
So why don't you take care of their family here when we know these companies anyway? Now, they're saying, not all companies can afford that. That's their problem. They can't join the PBA if they can't afford to pay. That's the reason why the PBA should be number one. Because these companies that join the PBA must be able to pay. They cannot be small-time companies that just want to ride on other teams and make a living out of selling their players. That is wrong, and I think that should stop.
Absolutely, and I think bonuses should also be part of the contract, so everything, in a perfect world, everything is transparent, right? Okay, like because in the NBA, you see some guys like, okay, makes the All-NBA team, gets this amount of bonus. Team makes the finals, get this amount of bonus, right? And that's where a lot of the other areas when it comes to the finances comes in sometimes with the league.
It is included, Naveen.
During
my time, and it's in the PBA bylaws, that everything you earn, everything you get from your company must be computed in the salary cap. I don't understand why now they say it's not. And that's what I'm saying, Naveen. There's no transparency, and there's been a twisting of the rules to make it fit to the needs of some teams, and that's wrong. That's where the PBA is getting hurt, because
that's
the
where it's getting
PBA's
rotten.
Credibility is starting to wane. That's the problem. It's not really that there is no product. It's just that the credibility is starting to go down because we're not being transparent, not only to the fans, but also to the players. That's the problem.
That is true. That is true. Well, I think that's a great place to leave the discussion right now. I am looking forward to having more discussions about this in the future with you, Sir Nolly. I want to thank you for joining me on this Friday morning. I can't wait for the listeners of the podcast to get to listen to it. But before we call it a show, why don't you tell the listeners what you have planned, maybe for your own show or any other projects you have coming up, and just share about it and what you have planned.
Well, you know, again, thank you, Naveen, for this opportunity. I had a good time talking with you, and I hope to come back on your show. As far as my show is concerned, we're actually doing a reformatting of Power and Play.
Oh,
it will happen this Saturday, tomorrow. And well, I don't know when you're going to show this, but this March, and certainly new segments that will be coming up. It will be more lively, and of course, the discussions will be more substantial. And of course, the guests will be also always be there. But again, you know, Power and Play is a show for the fans. We hope to continue just to provide information, entertainment, and of course, a lot of fun to the viewers. So again, I hope you can come on my show as well. And I certainly look forward to being on your show again.
I always do look forward to being on the show, and thank you for having me. Thank you as well to Mike for the invite. When he sent me a message on Friday, na I know na okay, so Friday night I'm not gonna drink muna. I'm gonna sleep. I'm gonna sleep early.
A little wine,
Friday. Maybe one or two glasses, but staying in with the wife and laying low. But again, thank you so much for having me. Thank you for coming on the podcast, Sir Nolly. I certainly hope it won't be the last time you're here, because I felt
thank
this
you.
Was a great discussion, and I can't wait to have more. And more power to you, more power to Mike, more power to your team, and, you know, ultimately more power to the PBA. I think Philippine sports, as a final note, I would like to say, I think Philippine sports, the Philippine culture, ultimately, it can be better if the PBA is doing great. And for those saying na, oh, you know, mga haters lang kayo, kini-criticize yung PBA, that's not true. We say what we say, and we talk about what we talk about, because genuinely, we love this league, and we want it to be great. Because it's a representation in many ways of basketball culture in the Philippines, which you and I, we both know how powerful that basketball culture here can be. And if the PBA can represent the great sides of the basketball culture of the Philippines, then I think the rest of the world can really have an idea of how awesome it is, how awesome we see it as well. So thank you, Komnoli, for joining me.
Thank you.